It's the Wednesday before Parshas Vayishlach, and I have to admit that I am in deep shock. I really am. And it never occurred to me. You know, you think of, you've got to say Shir on Vayishlach, so what do we start talking about? There's nothing much that's really Nagea Lemaisa to any of us, and the story everybody knows. So you've really got to dig around to find something which has any relevance. That's what I thought. And then it suddenly hit me that there's probably no other parsha in the world which is so lemaisa, so very, 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 very lemaisa for all of us at this point in our history. Some of you may be listening to the shiur if you're listening this week in Yetzer Hashem, so that's not news to you what I'm going to say now. If you're listening a few years down the line on some program where the shiur may be stored, you have to have it explained to you that currently in America there is a movement addressed against Wall Street. All over the country there are demonstrations which try to point out to people that Wall Street has too much power. The money, the rich people, the ones that they call the neoconservatives, have enormous, enormous, enormous power, and that things have to be reorganized, banking has to be made different. I don't even understand all the things which are involved because I'm not a big financier, but that is going on, and there's really been demonstrations now. They were camping outside various buildings. Stutzacher Tischenbank, that there's a lot of this, and it borrows, of course, from what they call the Arab Spring. People saw that demonstrations help, and demonstrations bring about changes. So if they can bring out changes and get rid of Mubarak, so then they can certainly bring about changes over here in America in the financial system. What I did not know is that the person who initiated all these demonstrations about the Wall Street, they've got some kind of name for it, I don't remember what it's called, but the one who initiated that is somebody called Kalle Lassen, K-A-L-L-E, second name L-A-S-N, Kalle Lassen. And he's the editor of a Canadian journal called Adbusters, and he is the one who started this whole, whatever it's called, I can't think of the word now, this idea that demonstrations against the financial big shots here in America can bring about changes and so on. So he's the one who organized this and was mechadesh that this should be followed. What I did not know, and I just happened to catch it I had the radio on in the car, and there was somebody interviewing this Kalle Lassen, and they said, well, people don't always like you. They know that, for example, you isolated the Jews who are part of this cabal of the neoconservatives. And he sort of said, yeah, well, you know, if you say the truth, you're going to be in trouble. I want to read to you. I have in front of me, which I took off the internet, a series of articles. They seem to be in a site called R-E-N-S-E. I don't know how you pronounce this. R-E-N-S-E.com. And this is a great big series of articles with a big, big heading, Canadian Ad Crusader Condemned for Saying Neocons Are Jews. That's the headline. I'll just read to you a few. I marked a few sections over here. Obviously, the very fact that one cannot speak the obvious truth about Jews without facing serious intimidations helps to underscore the magnitude of Jewish power, and it shows why virtually no one in a mainstream position dares to deal openly with the neocon role in the Iraq war and Israel's connection to the war. A left-wing Canadian journalist, Kalle Lassen, wrote the obvious, and all hell has broken loose. Lassen, the editor of the highly praised Canadian journal Adbuster, had the audacity to state in the March-April issue that the neocons are Jewish, and proceeded to list 50 neocons, finding that 26 were Jewish. Moreover, he stated that the neocons have a special affinity for Israel, and that their influence helps to tilt U.S. foreign policy towards Israel. Now I'm skipping. Obviously, the very fact that one cannot speak the obvious truth about Jews without facing serious intimidation helps to underscore the magnitude of Jewish power, and it shows why virtually no one in a mainstream position dares to deal openly with the neocon role in the Iraq war and Israel's connection to the war. We'll see more about that later. But now let's move into a taboo implication of prohibition of discussing the Jewish-Israel connection to the Iraq war. And this involves the origins of the September 11 terrorism that's blowing up the Twin Towers. As I've pointed out in other messages, it seems that Israel was aware of the September 11 terrorists. We know that some Mossad agents lived on the same street in Florida as Mohammed Atta, and other Mossad agents filmed the burning trade towers from across the Hudson River. These occurrences would definitely seem to be other than pure coincidence. Skipping again. Here is a simple question. Would Sharon's government do anything that might harm the United States of America, the United States or American citizens? If it thought such an action were vital for Israeli security and that it could get completely away with it. We know that this war was seen as important for Israel to the extent that it produced some of the phony WMD lies. I don't know what WMD stands for. Would Israel do anything to harm the U.S.? Next paragraph. Let's check the past record. Israel was certainly willing to take American lives when it attacked the USS Liberty. The government of Yitzhak Shamir is reported to have sold the Soviet Union valuable U.S. documents stolen by Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard, information which once in Soviet hands led to the death of American agents. Moreover, in recent years Israel has resold to China sophisticated American weaponry that could easily be turned against the United States. Finally, according to a study released right before the September 11, 2001 by the Army's School of Advanced Military Studies, the Israeli Mossad was sufficiently ruthless to target American forces and place the blame on Arab terrorists. About the Mossad, the study stated, wild card, ruthless and cunning, has capability to target U.S. forces and make it look like a Palestinian Arab act. It might also be added that Ariel Sharon is about the boldest and most ruthless Israeli politician ever to hold office. In short, the fact that the discussion of any Israeli connection to war on Iraq is totally taboo serves to make it more likely that Israel would dare to be connected to the September 11 terrorism. This doesn't mean that there's definite proof that Israel was involved in September 11 terrorism, only that if Israel were involved, no mainstream organization or individual would ever dare to investigate the situation to come up with proof. And knowing this, it would seem plausible that Sharon would try to pull something off if he thought it would significantly benefit Israel. In fact, a more reasonable question would be, why would Sharon refrain from such an endeavor? I'm skipping again. So this is quoting this lesson. He said, the negative responses show a knee-jerk political correctness. It's almost as if many of them are Jews themselves. They're in some sort of denial. They really think that somehow it is wrong to have a debate about the Jewishness of the neocons, who are, after all, the most powerful political intellectual group in the world today. They, the neocons, literally have the power to start wars and stop wars, and they are the driving force behind the Bush administration's foreign policy, not just in the Middle East, but throughout the world. They're the people who make it possible for the American administration to give $3 billion a year to Israel, and many of them are connected to the Likud party. It's almost as though we have become so politically correct that we don't even want to discuss the obvious anymore, Lassen said. He has an incredible amount of respect for Jews, who, owing to the Holocaust's deep imprint on them, have developed a keen ability to spot dictators, such as Saddam Hussein. In that way, Jewish influence is wonderful. However, if 50% of the neocons were Arabs or Palestinian, then this war in Iraq would never have started. And then I'm skipping again, and that's the last, the one before the last, which I'm quoting. The plan for the Iraq war has erupted in the face, that which has erupted in the face of opposition from the entire world, was drawn up at least decades ago by Israeli strategists. Listen to this. By Israeli strategists. In its attempt to realize its strategy of destabilizing or dividing the Middle Eastern Arab states, Israel has Egypt, Syria, Iran, and Saudi Arabia on its list of subsequent targets. That means after they finished Iraq, they want to start on those guys. And later, an ambitious report entitled A Strategy for Israel in the 1980s, which appeared in the World Zionist Organization's periodical Kivunim in February 1982, disclosed a strategy aimed at making the whole of the Middle East a kind of living space for Israel. The report, drawn up by Oded Yinon, an Israeli journalist and formerly attached to the Foreign Ministry of Israel, set out the scenario of the division of Iraq in those terms. And that's about it. I mean, there are probably other things that I could have quoted, but I think that if you've been listening, you catch the point. Now, this is terrible. I mean, maybe I'm being naive. I don't sort of travel around the internet to find out interesting things about anti-Semitism, but I just happened to come across this name of this Lassen, and I figured I'd have a look who he is and what he is. Why is he suddenly interested in the Jews? And now I found out this hasn't been like that since the Germans, especially here in America, that this whole business of the demonstrations against Wall Street, that the enemy is not Wall Street, the enemy is the Eden. And with all the implications, all the hints, and all the Moitzi Shemras of what I've read now, it's terrible. In my opinion, it's a very, very, very dangerous development. And now, getting back a little bit to the Pasha, and it's not really what I want to say about the Pasha, but it's connected, is the fact that I heard once Maimer from Rav Huttner, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, where he discusses the Golus Edom, and he says that the Golus Edom, the last swing of the Golus Edom, will be a point at which it has given up trying to destroy Israel. I don't mean the nation, the country, I mean Klal Yisrael, trying to destroy Klal Yisrael through killing them. And they saw that in that, over history, they weren't really matzliach. Never, they were very matzliach in 6 million Yidden, never. But be'etzem, Klal Yisrael chai v'kayom. Am Yisrael chai v'kayom. Chai v'kayom. Chai v'kayom. It's there. So they had this great idea. They had this great idea, let's be nice to them. And by being nice, so that way we can destroy them, because that will cause assimilation. And Rav Huttner said that the Maise Ova Simon Lebonim, just like the Ramban says, that the whole Pegisha between Yaakov and Esav is a Maise Ova Simon Lebonim for all the confrontations between Klal Yisrael and Esav throughout history. So he says the last scene is also a Maise Ova Simon Lebonim. And what was the last thing, the last words which Esav said to Yaakov? Vayoymer, this is it, this is the last sentence. Vayoymer, Niso v'neilecho v'ilcho l'negdecho. He said, look, why don't we travel together? Why don't we travel together? What did Esav mean by that? So let's first see the conversation. Vayom elav Adoni yodea ki hayelodim rakim v'atzon v'boko olos olay udefokum yom echad v'omesu kol atzon. I can't do it. Yavano Adoni lifnei abdav v'ani es nahalo le'iti l'regel ha'melocho asher lefonai ul'regel ha'yelodim ad asher over el Adoni se'irom. Yom Esav, I'm sorry, this is the last sentence. Atzigo no imcho min ha'am asher iti. That's it. Vayom lama ze emtzochein, lama ze emtzochein b'enei Adonai. Do me a favor, just don't nudge. I'd rather be separate. Vayoshak vayom ahu Esav ledako seiro. V'yakov nosa sukoise v'yiven l'abayis ul'mikneu osa sukos akein koro shem ha'mokam sukos. Zog rafutnam. That this is the end. Esav is on his way to Seir. The next time we are going to come, the Medrash says, what do you mean, Adani, Adasha over El Adoni Seir? Chofashti, I searched throughout Tanakh and I don't see Yaakov returning to Seir. So he answers, that is the Olam Mashim Ba'atzion, the Shpodes Esav, Hoish Lashem Hamlucho. That's what he meant, Adasha over. So Yaakov said, do me a favor, just go. And I'll look after myself. It's very sweet of you, but no thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. What was happening there? So the Midrashim say that what was happening was that Esav got a great big shock when he finally gets to see Yaakov, and he's coming with his 400 ish, and he sort of is drooling in anticipation of being able to kill Yaakov because of all the terrible things that he had done to him by the brochus. So suddenly, everything changes, and instead of starting to shoot, he runs over and they embrace. Okay, so he bit his neck, so that, you know, so you have to have a little bit of sibling rivalry or something. But by and large, he didn't kill him. So what happened? So Chazal say that the lotion of the pasuk is very, very, like it teaches us some very important things. Where is it here? ויורץ עשב לקרוסו ויחבחיו ויבר צבו ויסע עשב עשענו ויעז הנושים ועשה ילודים ויום מי אלה לך ויום מי הילודים השכון המלוקים וסבדך. That's very movement in the post. מי אלה לך? You're not supposed to have עולם הזה. I'm supposed to have עולם הזה and you're supposed to have עולם הבא. What greater עולם הזה can there be of four beautiful wives and 12 beautiful kids and nicely dressed and bali derech eretz and then never, I can't trust my wives with my suit, so I have to keep them by my mother. But you have a beautiful family life like this. That is kumtenish. So what did Yaakov say? Yeah, hayilodim ashachon an elokim nachon. Skupminish. The emphasis, I have no rights to them. But Rabbi Nisham was chaynen. He saw that I'm going to have to be living in this physical world. I know it's not mine. So he said, okay, let's at least give him a nice family, and that's it. So when Esav saw that, he said, I made a lousy deal. Why did I do this? I take Olam Hazeh and he gets Olam Haba. So he has nothing in Olam Hazeh. If that's called nothing, what he has, I want that kind of nothing also. And he said, let's renegotiate. Yeah, instead of my having the whole of Olam Hazeh and you having the whole Olam Haba, let's split down the middle. And that is mentioned in two midrashim, at least in two. And I'll just read the passage. The first is from Tana de Be'el Yohu. So Boys of Shor Omalo Esav li Yaakov Achi Boy v'nase shutfas ani v'ato tul ato v'olem hazeh v'ho olem habo chetzi v'ani etol gamkein olem hazeh v'olem habo chetzi shenema v'yom Esav atzigo no imcho min ho'om asher iti. ואומר לו יעקב לעשב אדוני יודע כי הילדים רכים ואינם יכולים לעמוד בייסורים של בניך. Do you know what pogroms you're going to make against me if we are anywhere near each other? We can never be shutfim, because how can my children, my descendants, you're going to kill us out at every opportunity. שנימא ויאמר לו אדוני יודע כי הילדים רכים והצאן והבוקר עולה שלהם ותפוקום יום אחד ומשך כל הצאן יבוא נו אדוני לפני לפני אבדל ואני אז נעלו לאיתי לרגל המלוכו אשר לפני ולרגל הילדים עד אשר עובר אל אדוני סעירו. That's what Yaakov said. So why does Yaakov refuse the shutfas? Yaakov refuses the shutfas because he says, I can't risk it. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous and I don't want it. I'd much rather remain a stranger in Olam Hazeh. Now that is brought out in a slightly different way in the Medrash Rabbah, and there it's really nogea to us very, very much. So Vayomelov, this is in Medrash Rabbah Pasha Ayin Ches in the Bereshis Rabbah, and the number of the paragraph is different in different Medrash Rabbahs. The one I'm using over here has it under 17. I saw another one which had it under 14, I think. Vayomelov Adoni Yodea Ki Hayelodim Rakim. So Rav Huna B'Shem Rav Acha Omer. Ilule Rachamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Udefokum Yom Echot Kvamesu Kol HaTzoin B'Yemei Adar Yainus. There was a time of terrible pogroms, so we could have all been destroyed B'Yemei Adar Yainus. Rav Brechio B'Shem Rav Levi Omer Adoni Odea Ki HaYelodim Rakim Zeh Dovid HaShloimo V'Atzoin V'Aborko Oloi Salai Eilu Yisroel Shneimah V'Atein Otzoni. Oh, I shouldn't have quoted that piece. Rav Huna B'Shem Rav Acha Omer Ilu Le'Rachamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kva Mesu Kol HaTzoin B'Yemei Homan. We can't do this. I don't want a chelek in Olam Hazeh. I don't want to be a shutev of yours. Thank you very much. That's really the same as the Tana de Be'elio says. It's not going to work. Thank you. No. Yavo no Adoni lefonai lifnei avdoi. Omale. So Esav said to him, Mevakesh at shenehei shutev imcho ba'olamecho. Is it maybe okay for me to be a shutuf of yours in your world? Maybe he meant Olam Haba. Omale yavo no Adoni lefnei avdo. Omale. So no, I don't want that either. I want Olam Haba, and you want Olam Hazeh. The Mefarshim of the Medrash say over here that no, I can't give you a chelek in Olam Haba because you're going to mess it up, because you're going to behave in Olam Hazeh in such a way that you'll never get to Olam Haba. That's how they learn in that shtickle. Omale. So Esav asked him a very pointed question. Oma leve ein atomis yore miduchsi umin afachavi umin istratili. These are all the nations which pinecked Klal Yisrael, or the officials that pinecked Klal Yisrael. You're going to be dependent on them. Like if you're not going to have a chelek of Olam Hazeh mitzad yourself, so you're not going to have you're going to have to come on to them for your needs. So aren't you afraid that they're not going to give it to you, and that they're going to be ugly, and they're going to be anti-Semitic, and they're not going to give you things? So Rashi says, lehoni, lehoni is benachas. Ani mahalach, I'll go benachas. Kamod etema es mea shiloach haholchem leot. He said, no, I'll maintain a good relationship with your descendants. I mean, not those which are going to make pogroms against us. I just have to hope for rachmei shamayim, but for the people on whom I'm going to depend, I'm going to act in such a way that I think they'll be nice to me. So I'm looking now in the Eitz Yosef. Bimei Adar Yainus Shehora Kamoin Rav Miyisrael Biyoyim Echot Kedei Isu Bereish Esther Rabba Velule Rachamosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hoyoyse Kola. That's what Yaakov said. If the pogroms, they're going to destroy me. Bimei Homan Shegoza Lahashmid Biyoyim Echot. So he asked, Shenehei Shutuf Imoch, so let me at least be a partner. Oh, this is the part which I explained before. Kloyma Shani Ezke Imcho Bo'olam Habo V'ato Imi Lo'olam Hazeh. Veshiva yavano adoni lefnei avdo, ki hu yochal oilom haba oilom hazeh levad. No, you're not going to get a chelik in oilom haba. Whatever is due to you, you'll only get in oilom hazeh. Ve'omer le ve'et lo tiro something, I can't read that word. Ve'ravrove, shi yitztarech kishoho yoshofel v'nichna lefneihem. But how are you going to deal with all the people whom you're going to need? So you have no chelik in olam hazeh. So if you have no chelik in olam hazeh, so you're going to have to come on to me and to my descendants and to the guy. So if you have to come on to them, like, aren't you scared of that? Veheshev sheyisnahek le'itoy benachas lehoini lehoini. It's going to be benachas. I'm going to act in such a way. Kloima shlo yaharos lehiskomeim lenegdom. I'm not going to aim for power. I'm not going to aim for influence. I'm not going to be miskaimem negdom and argue with them. Nothing. My actions will not do anything. Loses lohem mokom lehiskanois bi. To give them any kind of opportunity to be jealous of me, it's not going to happen. Elo yeye savlon. I am going to be a savlon, the savlonus gedoilo, uber fiusen okiyotze. Iname sheyelef befonim kerucha is rotzeloime, she is kase me einehem, the yivrach mipneem ad yavazoam. I'm going to be an expert of living in golos. I'm going to be an expert and I'm going to behave so nicely. I'm going to behave so nicely that the goyim are not going to be jealous of us, and they're not going to have any kindness to us, and they will give us what we need, and Shalom al Yisrael, everything's going to be fine. And now, Rabbi Sir, now is the time to chazer that terrible essay or essays which I quoted to you before. We're doing the wrong thing. I'm not saying that the State of Israel should not exist. That's, first of all, it's not my business. Second of all, it's not my opinion. I don't know anything about it. But the way we act, what is the basis of this terrible Larson, whatever his name is? Yeah? Like, what's Gateman is that of the 50 neocons, of the 50 biggest neocons, or in other places, I think he talks about billionaires. So of those 50, 26 are Yidden. Is that what the Medrash had in mind, that we're going to be so still ahead and not going to make any waves and nobody's going to hear us and nobody's going to see us? It's going to be okay. I won't bother them, and then we'll have no reason to be jealous of me. We're not acting right. It's not my place to say Musa to anybody, and Chas v'Shalom that I should be being mechaven to anything that is even vaguely related to Musa. But I think that we're making terrible mistakes. I mean, I'm not the Gedolim said the same thing, and I don't think that any of the systems ever worked. But it's not right, the kind of chasnas that we make, and the kind of simchas that we make, and the banquets that we make, and the hotels that we build, and the advertisements in all over the press, the all luxuries, and these entertainers, and these entertainers, and this cruise, and that cruise. Yeah, all right, what do people are supposed to say who are out of work and who are being foreclosed out of their houses? Never they're also Yidden who are in that matzah, but most people are not Yidden. And when they see an advertisement for this enormous cruise with a different entertainer every night, and he's what do you call it, living on whatever the government gives him because he's out of work, we're stupid. We're mother stupid. Why do we act like that? Why do we act like that? Why do we act in such a open? I can't even think of the words anymore now. Yeah, to flaunt our wealth, to flaunt our intelligence, to flaunt our business abilities, to flaunt. We are a dire of flaunters. even I have kashas even on the beautiful buildings which our yeshivas have. I mean, what do the goyim think when they pass a place like this? Like Baruch Hashem, our beautiful Nei Yisrael campus. But like every yeshiva that gets built nowadays is a mansion, more or less. We're stupid. Like we are attracting the jealousy. We're attracting jealousy. And where there is jealousy, so this garbage which this person wrote over here will find listeners. And these demonstrations against Wall Street, read neocons, read Jewish, read power, read guys who manage everything, the foreign policy and the treasury and their vase, and people will be ready to listen to that. What's Taka the Pshat? Rav Huttner said that Esav already has gone Ladakoi to Seir. So where is this new anti-Semitism coming from? That's a big shaila. Where is that new anti-Semitism coming from? It's not Esav. The Teretz is, that's Yishmael. And the Emes is, that is what's happening. That's what's happening. Just read the other day that women are being raped in Norway. From whom? By whom? By the all these European countries, to show what Christ Tzadikim they are. They imported all these people from the Middle East, and now they're running the show. Can you imagine a few years ago that if they would have wanted to build a mosque on the ground, Kimat, of the Twin Towers, that there would have been even a Haberman? The Terrorists, is they're all running to go and curry favor with them, and Mimela, they feel in power, and that's Taka Hodash Goth is going. They have power today, and heaven knows what they can get up to. I mean, it's already looking in such a way, not in Cairo. We're talking about here in our beautiful America, in Manhattan, other places. And it says that Chazal gave it. The Rabbi Shem was kind enough to give us Pashas Vayishlach and to tell us this story about Yaakov's confrontation with Esav over here. And we're not listening. So I just wanted to be ma'ira then. Please, again, I'm not giving any musa. But just to learn the Pasha, and then I look out my window and I see that we're crazy. That's not the way, l'chaira, to get through Golos. At least that is what Yaakov told Esav, and he should have known. He was the father who managed to return from Golos. Managed to return from Golos. The Ashtu zurückgekommener, right after one was the Ashtu gekommener, Yitzhak the Ashtu gebliebener, and Yaakov the Ashtu zurückgekommener. Avodah said, the first one who came back from Golos, Vayova Yaakov Sholem Ir Shechem, Sholem Begufa, Sholem Bemaino, Sholem, the third thing I don't remember. Will we come back Sholem? We're not doing it right. We're not doing it right. Okay, so that's the story. Please be mine if you think there's any merit in what I said. Look at the Makoros. Again, it's in the Tana de Be'el Yohu and in the Medrash Rabbe. In the Medrash Rabbe, it's Ayin Ches. In my Medrash Rabbe, Seif or Simon, whatever it is, 17. There's a lot to think about. So my fear that there wouldn't be anything to say in Vayishlach has been shown to be unfounded. Thank you very much for listening.